This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I think it was the day after the State of the Union, Obama's last State of the Union. I actually took a train from Philadelphia to Baltimore. I was going to Baltimore for a meeting. And there was such an incredible contrast between the kind of triumphalism of what Obama had said the night before, where he literally went on a rant halfway through the speech about how powerful and how strong the United States was. And it was in reaction to what he said were critics of the strength and the standing of the United States. And he went on to say that, the United States has the most powerful military in the world, that we spend more than the next eight countries combined on our military, that no country dare attack us because they know it would be the beginning of their ruin. And this was embedded in a larger speech about the recovery and what a sort of testament to his administration over the last 8 years had been this economic turnaround in the United States. And so that was kind of playing through my head, taking the train to get down to 30th Street through North Philly and looking at what the economic recovery looks like from the perspective of North Philly, with literally the backs of buildings completely collapsed in entire neighborhoods, the kind of boarded up, abandoned properties that people talked about in West Baltimore and that the photographs in the first room demonstrate. And so going from there, getting on the train at 30th Street and traveling to Baltimore, and upon entering the city, seeing the absolute devastation of this city, it was such a shocking contrast between what Obama had described the night before and what the lived reality is for so many people. And so I think that in some ways that can become an important part of the story, and I think it is. I think the years of economic disinvestment in places like Baltimore and Philadelphia, but to be honest, in every major city in this country, there is a North Philly, there's a West Baltimore, there's the east side of Cleveland, there's the east side of Buffalo, there's the west side of Chicago, the west side or the south side of Chicago, there's East Detroit, there's East St. Louis, there's East LA. You can find these kinds of neighborhoods in every city in this country, which says something about the priorities of a country that proclaims to be the most powerful in the world and the richest in the history of the world. But I do think an important aspect of the eruption of the Black Lives Matter movement is not just about highlighting the despair, the disinvestment, the way that poor and working class black people are shit on in this country every single day, but it's also been a celebration of resistance, which I think is very important, which I think is captured in the beautiful photography of Devin Allen in a way that is critical to showing that people, despite what is done to these neighborhoods, to these communities, that people still are human, are alive, have families, have aspirations, have dreams, and have hopes. And so I'm blown away by the pictures here because of what they capture, but also I felt the same way about the people who rose up in Ferguson and all the people who are usually rendered invisible by what happens in this country, who have risen up collectively around the country and forced this nation to take stock and to talk about the issue of police terrorism, and to talk about the issues of racial inequality in this country. So I just wanted to say that, to thank Devin, to thank people who have taken a stand against this injustice, because I really think that that is our future. And so I wanted to just start off by asking you, Devin, specifically, if there is a particular thing that you are trying to capture in your photograph. So what is it? You talked a lot about the shot and shooting. What is it that you're actually looking for in your shot?
I'm just looking for what is real. I'm trying to create a conversation. You know, like, I'm a dialogue creator. I don't really consider myself a journalist. Well, I'm taking pictures. I'm trying to capture the raw essence of the story. You know, I'm trying to not be biased. You know, I'm trying to tell the story from an outsider looking in, but also as a person from the inside looking out. So I'm looking from two different sides, but I'm trying to basically create this conversation where people can understand, people can grow, people can feel, people can understand the pain that my people have been dealt, the cause that we have been dealt for so long. I just want to make people feel. That's what it's all about. Like I told someone in here earlier, I only capture what I love. If my heart doesn't gravitate to it, I won't snap. You know, that's why these pictures are so easy for me to snap, because I love my city, I love my people, I love my skin. So it's so easy to capture them in that beauty, because that's what I love.
I'm wondering if any of you can say, have these been shown in Baltimore?
I had a smaller exhibit in Baltimore at the Reginald Ralph Lewis Museum. It's not as many images, it's just a few of the most popular images. This is my first real show that I have really been hands-on with, and I had complete creative control that I really can just put my foot in and say, this is what I want to do. You know, so when I created this exhibit, I wanted to put you in Baltimore, then I wanted you to feel the uprising, then I wanted you to see that flower, these beautiful people that were grown from the uprising. So when you come into the first room, that's the neighborhood that Freddie Gray looked at with his own two eyes before he was murdered. You know, the vacant homes, you know, the kids playing in the street, the families, the mother braiding the hair on the porch. These are things that he saw every day when he walked up and down his street, in and out his projects. And then when you walk through that door, you see the chaotic, you know, collage of all the images from the uprising, but then you see this bright lit area with these beautiful black faces of people that's born, and not just black, you know, beautiful white faces, Caucasians that work together hand in hand. You know, the young, beautiful young lady sitting right here holding the in white supremacy. She's the future. You know, she's the future. You know, she's going to work with my daughter and so forth and so forth. That's the future. We have planted these seeds early. So this is what this exhibit is for, to plant these seeds in this city so that the activists in here can connect with my people here, and then we can connect all over. Because these images are not mine. These are Baltimore images. That's why when I posted them to Twitter, I never put a tag on them. Because it's my work, but it's empowered by my city and my people.
That's great. I'm wondering if any of you can speak to how the city has changed since last April.
So, like, a prime example I can give actually happened December 16th, the second time I got arrested for having a bullhorn. So I get arrested like 30 minutes after they announced the mistrial for William Porter. And, you know, only thing I know is, like, just go smooth this time. Like, so I go... I'm in the jail. So around 6:30, when the protesters moved away from the courthouse, I'm getting taken to the paddy wagon to get took down to Central Bookings. The sheriff's arrested me in the courthouse, so you got to go to Central Bookings where the jail is. So I see Lil Melvin. Lil Melvin is a 16-year-old kid, but he getting out the ambulance. But he's still in handcuffs, getting out the ambulance. They put us in the paddy wagon together. And I'm like, man, what happened? He's like, man, no, you good, you good. I'm worried about you, you good. We just checking on each other. It wasn't until they let me out of jail 3:30 that morning, I go home and I check Twitter, and I see Lil Melvin didn't have a bullhorn in his hand at the time, but he got choke slammed by a sheriff deputy for having that bullhorn, but four of them. And so with the impact that I thought about it was that Lil Melvin was 16 and he's been coming out to these protests and was skipping school for that whole week to stand and wait for the verdict. not because he was like bad, but he wanted to like change his life. And he tell you, I come out to these protests so that I don't have to go out on the corner. I can fight for something I believe in, and this is something my mother approves of, me channeling my energy. So when I got arrested and I dropped that bullhorn, the first thing that hit my mind was like, yo, I'm 21. I look up to Devin, I look up to Mike, I look up to Megan, I look up to all these different individuals. But then the first thing that hits my mind when I see that is that this little kid body got put in harm's way, choke slammed, where his spine could have been severed like Freddie Gray, and picked up the same bullhorn that I brought to the protest, all because he was inspired by all the actions that we did and taking place back in April. And he's only 16. And so that's the longer. The system can't change, right? The system is not broken. The system is perfected. So we'll never get police reform in this system. That's why we got Kevin Davis, right? We'll never get a mayor that's really going to reflect the people, because it's all politics, is all backwards deals. But what we can do is change the mindsets of individuals, especially the young people. Because if we change young people mindsets and inspire them, then we've changed tomorrow before it even came. And that's the only thing I could think about, and that's the only tangible thing that we can really say that we changed in Baltimore.
I also think one of the most frustrating things of the entire movement has been when everyone around the country watches TV, they see that CVS burning loop after loop after loop after loop. And it looks like something that's there. It looks like the environment. But a couple days after the uprising, I took a friend of mine from Dallas to Penn North. And we drove around. And he just looked. And he was utterly shocked by a city. On those same blocks where that CVS was burning, there was white faces, brown faces, black faces, male, female, PhDs, and 16-year-olds in school still. And every music was playing, everybody was cleaning up, everyone was getting along, and there was this palatable feel in the air of hope that we won something. Like, even if we couldn't grab onto what it was, we had won each other. And that's something that is never, ever seen on mainstream media. And that's why, like, we have a sister in the movement, Michaela Gillen Price, who was taking things in, trying to get the other side, like what we're talking about, the real Baltimore. So that's what Devin's capturing, and that's what you see. This is what it is. It's not that damn CVS burning. It's this. It's what it felt like afterwards, and everybody being here together, and it's all the faces that are here now. A lot has come of this, and we have to just keep building off that momentum, and these are your leaders to do so.
Just one thing. Was his name William Porter? Yeah. The cop. So the six police officers that were involved in the murder of Freddie Gray, their trials began, and William Porter was the first person, the first officer to go on trial. And even though he had said that he didn't lock Freddie Gray properly into the police van, and even though he did not check on Freddie Gray or call for any medical assistance, there was a hung jury. And this cop is, I believe his next trial is in June. He's being retried. So I think that is important context in terms of when we talk about the difficulty of police reform in a country that relies on police violence to keep its population, certain populations, in check. That is part of the difficulty. I'm just wondering, Devin, if you can say something about what you would, the relationship you see between your photography and potentially events like this in other places, and the movement itself, and what kind of relationship that you would like to see your work have with the movement itself?
My work, basically, I'm just here to document. You know, for a long time, we never documented our own stories. We always allowed others and media and all these outlets to tell our own stories. You know, I'm here to tell our story, you know, firsthand. You know, a lot of people don't know that Frederick Douglass was a photographer, and he's one of the most photographed people of the 19th century, and he photographed himself. A lot of times they are self-portraits, but you wouldn't know that. You don't understand that photography is so powerful, it has set our people back for a long, long time. Even when I study other photographs of that I'm in a film called Through the Lens Darkly, and worked by Deborah Willis and stuff like that, and reading books. And when you look at photographs that you would see in newspapers, they were photo shoots. They would say this man was arrested doing this and that and third, but it's a photo shoot. When you really dig deep enough and you have the facts and you have people who did the research. You know, so at the end of the day, my work is here to create this conversation that can outlast me and people can pass on generation to generation. And that's what my work is for. I would love to take and do stuff like this in every city that I feel I'm connected to. Take it around the world if you want to. This is one of many. You know, and my activism is me being on the ground and me giving back and me being from where I'm from and done what I've done. I connect to the youth. So I have two forms of activism. I document and then I teach the next generation how to document. That's what I do. And that's the end goal, is to inspire the next generation to pick up a camera and continue to tell our stories.
All right, I think we can end the formal aspect of tonight. People want to hang around, talk to Devin, the folks from Baltimore, Megan from Philadelphia, please do so. But thank you for coming out and participating in this important evening.
I just want to, before everybody go around and start talking, we planning a lot more events. I plan on bringing a lot more activists from Baltimore here. So just be on the lookout for those. This is up till March, so it's up the whole month of February. So I will be back and forth. I plan on bringing as many people as I can to create this conversation. So I thank everybody out for coming, and I love you all.